on the weary side because of it. And I'm getting up way earlier than I would like to. I get up early, but Saturday morning, I got up very early, and I was just sitting before the Lord in my recliner, and this is what I heard. Speak to the mountain. Remove the stone. And of course, the first verse came to me. It's in Matthew, and it's also in Mark 11, which is our text today. But it's speaking about not allowing things, like Roger was saying, not allowing things to get your focus off what is the most important thing in the world, and that is your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to be in the center. When he's in the center, everything else falls into place. And that's what Roger was saying in not so many words. And so that's the title of the message, the words the Holy Spirit spoke to me very early on. And it's speaking about dealing with or speaking or removing the obstacle in your life that is in the way of the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for you. This is a personal thing. We all battle, and we all have to do battle. And that it's those words simply are saying, rise up in the power of the risen Christ, in the God-given authority that you possess, that you've been given as a blood-bought believer. That's it. I could end the sermon with that today. God bless you. Go in peace. Let's read Mark 11 together, starting at verse 11. It should be familiar to many of you, the passage where Jesus curses the fig tree and so forth. I want to draw out a few things for us today. Mark 11:11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And on the next day, when they had left for Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. Now, don't you think that Jesus knew that? But he was setting up the 12 for a lesson, for a teaching on prayer and on declaration and on authority. So let's keep moving. He said to it, the tree, I mean, I don't know about you, it's a little strange talking to the tree. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. It was for their benefit. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach, here it is, and say to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a robber's den. The chief priests, the scribes, heard this and began seeking how to destroy him. Quite a reaction. For they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and the 12 would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, not just to Peter, because this was a setup, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that when he says what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions." All right, so we are living in a time where prayer and unity should be at the forefront of our walk with Jesus. I do believe almost that it is essential for survival in the season that we're in the U.S. of A. Indispensable in such a time as this. And an important foundational verse for the hour we're living in is 2 Chronicles 20:20, which I call 2020 vision, or vision for 2020, which reads, "Put your trust in the Lord your God." Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. So he's given us the ability and the authority to speak to the mountain and to remove the stone, those things that are there that are preventing us from moving forward in faith. And removing the stone is symbolic of releasing resurrection life and power into your situation and circumstances and life. So there are a few things here, unsurprisingly. There's actually seven. We'll discuss five. The power of the Spirit. How are we going to effectively speak to the mountain and remove those stones, those things that seemingly, there's the operative word, seemingly are preventing you from moving forward? They really are not. It's just God, sometimes we're waiting for God to move the mountain. We're waiting on God to remove that obstacle, and God says, "No, I'm waiting for you, and then I'll move. Then I'll release my power, my grace, my anointing." So, the first thing is the power of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, from verses 11 and 19. And it says there in verse 11, and Jesus never did anything without a purpose. You understand? So you have to pay attention when he does something. So he arrives in Jerusalem. He goes in the temple, it says, and he looks around and he leaves. Okay? Verse 11. Same principle, verse 19. Jesus left Jerusalem after ministering in the temple, and they went back to Bethany. So the idea is getting the Father's perspective. Sometimes we lose perspective, don't we? Because our emotions rise up and we start getting, you know, upset, and we can't see clearly, we can't think clearly, we can't proceed clearly and by faith. And so we have to take a step back, and that's what Jesus is doing here. He's getting Father's perspective before he ministers, before he does anything. He always goes to the Father in every situation. And so I think it was particularly critical here, because if you go back in your Bible, you will see that this was just after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the people were like thinking they were going to proclaim him king, much more than what he, I mean, he is a king and he is the Messiah, but their idea was not his idea, okay? And so he wasn't going to revert to the flesh and say, you know, yeah, you're right, guys, I am pretty awesome. He was going to remain in the Spirit so he could operate in the power of the Spirit. And so taking time to get away with the Father and the Holy Spirit gives you a fresh perspective and renewed faith. I don't know about you, but I found that yesterday's faith is not sufficient for today. I need more faith to face today. I need a different measure of faith, because what I face today may not be what I faced yesterday. So a fresh perspective and renewed faith to face and overcome the mountain and remove that stone, if you will. Hebrews 4:16, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, into the Lord's presence, in other words, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Also John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And also, I would add, how to respond to what you're going to have to face. So we need to see clearly and accurately in order to not only face the mountain in your life, or mountains, sometimes it's plural, more than one thing is happening. We need to see clearly and accurately so that we can conquer the mountain, so that we can overcome those things. As Romans said, I am more, you are more than conquerors through him who loved and loves you. Secondly, we have the power of faith and preparation, verse 13 and 14. So here we have the fig tree with no figs. Beautiful leaves, no figs. And Jesus curses the fig tree. Now, Jesus knew it wasn't the season for figs. You don't think he knew that? He was brought up. He knew it wasn't time for figs to be on the tree. He was about the Father's business, doing something else. And his disciples were listening. And he was about to give them a lesson on faith and on prayer. And Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Amplified reads, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, whether death or life, in other words. So, you know, you can't take back your words. So we should endeavor to speak life. That's what Jesus always did. It doesn't mean you can't speak the truth, you can't be firm, but you do it in love. You do it in a way that you're not tearing apart someone. And so we need to be careful what and guard our mouth. Verse 21 and 22, there's the exchange between Peter and Jesus. And Peter says, oh, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered, it's dead. And I like what Matthew says. Matthew's version of this says it died from the roots up. That in the normal sense, it dies from the top down. The leaves will start to dry up because the life flow has been interrupted. And so it dies from the top to the roots. But Jesus cursed it to the roots. He got right to the heart of the matter, which is what he's trying to teach us. Targeted prayer, targeted faith, that will deal with things in a godly way and bring results, godly results. Say what you believe and believe what you say. Romans 10, 6 to 8, but really focusing on verse 8. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Let's move right down to verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. What word? The word of faith. You meditate on this verse all day. The word of faith which we are preaching and which all of us have heard, in other words. The gospel truth. So we need to let the word of faith arise from our spirits and proceed from our mouths to defeat the enemy in any plan he has cooked up to trip you up, to get you off track and sidetrack you, is what I was looking for the word, and prevent you from walking and fulfilling the will of God, the plan of God, the purposes of God in your life. I'm burning up here. That's a good thing. So what are you going to do? You're going to speak to your mountain. You're going to say, be you removed and cast into the sea. You are not my portion. This is not God's best for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. God is for me and not against me. And so forth. So you need to let that word of faith arise. It's near and even nigh unto your mouth to defeat the enemy. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will prosper unless you let it. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. And so what the Lord is saying is, when you decide you've had enough and you're not going to be a namby-pamby, weak, spiritual weakling, and you're going to take the authority that was released for you and in you from the cross of Calvary, he will back you up. He will back you up. But oftentimes he's waiting for us before he moves. He could do it all, but then we wouldn't understand who we are in him. We wouldn't understand the depth of what he has done when he saved us. We wouldn't understand the power of his blood if he did it. He wants us to arise. He wants us to move forward in faith and declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. Number three, the power of proclamation, declaration, or decree, from verses 15 to 19. This is where Jesus is confronting. It's not just about one or two people selling a few sheep. I mean, I don't know about you, but this is righteous anger that is displayed here by the Lord. And so it's not about making a few bucks or a few pennies. It's about confronting and speaking against greed, evil, injustice, impure motives, and control. The buyers and sellers there were making a profit off of God's people. Because it was easier for them not to haul the sheep all the way from wherever they lived and bring them to Jerusalem, these guys said, aha. We can set up shop in the temple, and then, you know, we'll just make a little profit while we're at it. And the same thing for the money changers. That's why Jesus turned the tables over. If you've never traveled overseas, you don't know that you have to change money. In order to buy and sell in another nation, you need the currency of that nation. Well, we need the currency of the kingdom if we're going to do God's business. And so Jesus was teaching here, this is not right. They're making a profit to change the money, which is fine, but not in God's house. That's what he was so upset about. 1 Timothy 1:5, but the goal of our instruction, in other words, what we say and teach, is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you know how to respond to each person. You know, I can say something to my son, but if I say that same thing to my daughter, I'm going to wound her. You understand? I can't speak to them the same. They're not the same person. They're different. Not just because they're male and female, but because they're just different. And so we need to know how to respond to people in order to get the point across, and do it in love and get results, the desired result that God is after. And so we need to look to God for what to say, when and how to say it, and He will back us up with power and grace and results. Number four, the power of prayer. This is actually the centerpiece here in this passage, verses 23 to 24. He who does not doubt but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. This is when Jesus had used that phrase, speak to the mountain. And if you believe, I mean, it's a stretch, but it could happen. He's just using it as an illustration. What he's saying is, speak to the impossibilities in your life and see what I will do if you do it in the right spirit and do it in faith. First John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. And another verse that I will skip that you can study there is 1 John 3, 21 to 22. It says much of the same there. So we need to practice prayer, daily prayer, spirit-led prayer. We need to commit everything to prayer. You know, God's given us a brain. He's given us intelligence, and most of us have common sense. Not all. But that doesn't exclude making prayer the centerpiece. Because that's when you get results. That's where your faith is nourished. That's where you meet your God in order to face your mountain. Number five. And you might say, what? The power of forgiveness. Because, why? Unforgiveness hinders your prayer. Absolutely hinders your prayer. This is the way He said it to me. It clogs the lifeline between you and heaven. Unforgiveness clogs the lifeline, the life flow, between you and heaven in your prayer. And honestly, unforgiveness is linked to pride. Why won't you forgive that person? It's because you think you're right. You think you didn't deserve that. Well, maybe you didn't, but there's something that needs a little adjustment in your attitude there, if you're unwilling to forgive. And, you know, both parties are the loser when you hold someone hostage and not forgive them. In a sense, it's impacting you also. So the power of forgiveness, or some would say the power of unforgiveness, to get in the way. The power of forgiveness or and repentance. Verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. The Holy Spirit, he's very faithful to say, hold on a second here. What about that unforgiving attitude? You think, you know, that's going to get in the way here a little bit? Yeah. And so He's faithful to do that with us. It's linked to pride. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And I would, my paraphrase of that would be to give you the victory and overcome your mountain, that obstacle, that thing, that circumstance. You know, I not just me, but I've noticed, and Kathy has noticed, you know, sometimes when something irritates you in another person, guess what? It's in you. And that's why you're having such a strong reaction, because you don't want to face it. Your pride is obscuring seeing that fault in you clearly. And it's going to prevent you from moving on to victory. And so to finish that verse, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Cast all your cares or anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He wants to help us through the things that we struggle with. He's always going to be there, but he's given us instruction in his word. He's given us some things to help us get past our stuff and past our obstacles. So it's important and essential to commit and submit all things to him. And that's what you found out, Roger, didn't you? You found that you got your peace back when you put him back in the equation, when you put him back where he belonged, in the center of your feelings and your circumstances and your struggles. He says, okay, I can work with this. And that's when we get our release. And that's when we are able to speak to that mountain, be removed. Speak to that stone, that stumbling block. Remove, be removed in Jesus' mighty name. So I hope this is helpful. I'm done, but I wanted the worship team to do a song. I got a song that I believe speaks to this issue, to this struggle that we all have. We all have struggles. We all have obstacles. We all have things we need to overcome. And so as they come, you know, just think about what the words say here in this song, Holy Unafraid, by Tim Timmons. You all know I often get a song while I'm preparing a sermon. The Holy Spirit is illustrating through song